ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week I have Nate Baker, who's the founder of The Developer's Way. To me, as a parent, I know this is for coaches, but he set expectations for coaches. He set standards for coaches and things they can do to improve their skill sets. And to me, as a parent, what he is doing is awesome. It creates a foundation for coaches to have a place to go to have a resource. Now, for us parents on the other side of the touchline, we need to take time to listen to what he's saying and listen to what he's trying to create for coaches, because this kind of changes the game. It influences the people that are out there making decisions for our players. And as a parent, what he talks about is huge. And I'll be honest, when I did this interview, it took me a long time to understand what he was saying, because the light bulb was not coming on for me. No matter how many different ways I asked the question to anything else, it took me a minute to grasp his concept. So before I say any more, let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
My My name is Nate Baker. I'm the founder of The Developer's Way, a coaching education company that's main point is to change our soccer culture, the coaching culture in general, navigation from one of winning and success to that of development. So a lot of my passion is around defining what development is, which means not telling people how to do something or what to do, but showing the areas, the where of coaching, how to take your ideas, your intuitions about the game and coaching people and format them and present them to your players to move them closer to their potential. I'm also the technical director for Achilles Football Club in Washington, D.C., which is in the MLS Next platform. And I've been doing that for roughly 4 years. So that's a bit of my introduction, but very passionate about coaching, very passionate about this thing called development.
So when I first reached out to you, I told you, I feel that the word development's overused. It's a marketing word that has been tarnished. And as a parent, looking at development, it has so many more meanings than just the correct touch. So how did you come to the realization that this was your journey, that of development and talking about it and helping coaches better understand what true development means?
So my origin story is that I'm in my 40th year. I grew up in the game in a very interesting moment. My ninth birthday was around the World Cup final in 94, hosting on our own ground. I remember being at my grandfather's house and him saying, hey, you want to watch this? It was Italy-Brazil in the final on our home ground, and just remember enjoying the game as a player, but being captivated and seeing such a bright future for not just myself, but the sport in general, just being magnetized towards that. And I had a good upbringing in the game as far as accomplishments and how I was able to navigate the U.S. soccer culture. I played youth soccer at a high level until I played 4 years at Division I soccer at American University in Washington, D.C., and then would go on to play 4 more years in the United Soccer League in the third tier until I stopped at 25. But how did I get here? How did development become this passion project of mine and the thing I would devote close to 20 years trying to deconstruct and make sense of? Because I intuitively felt in my entire upbringing and became more acutely aware through my college experience into the professional realm, even before that, that the environments that I was inhabiting, the coaching I was receiving on some level was suboptimal. I didn't know what it was supposed to look like. I only had intuitions. And ironically, this journey started on a couch in my best friend's apartment, Sal, who I run the club with in Washington, D.C., when we played together 4 years in American, and we would just watch games. We were just looking for clues as to how it could look or what it should look like and trying to deconstruct the highest levels, but also just find some wisdom. How do you develop people? How do you create a better environment? How do you make this sport such a powerful lever for transformation? How do you become a world power in the sport? Our upbringings in the sport are behind every other country in the world. So these discussions started on a couch, just flopping ideas around, and over 20 years it's become a passion project that led me on a coaching trajectory. I wanted to really coach in the college level because I felt like that was the most fundamental moment in my life developmentally, but I also felt extremely shortchanged during that time. So I had a passion. I've coached youth soccer at every level, which led me to a college coaching career at both the Naval Academy and at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. I've coached in the MLS with an MLS franchise with DC United as their director of scouting and as their under-17s coach within the academy. And then post-COVID, I joined my friend at the end of 2020 and started trying to build and put into practice a lot of the stuff that was in my head that I had written down, had not yet publicly shared, but wanted to enact at his club and see if these things really's work as well as I had experienced them with some of the people that I ran into and mentors that kind of gave shape to my intuitions. But it became this passion project where I felt like everywhere I looked, all the things that I was understanding and starting to learn about development was unveiling itself in a lot of the wrong ways, whether it was youth soccer, college soccer, the professional game. I just see such a better future for the game. So my origin story is I only had intuitions and I sought out the very best that I could. And then I kept iterating and figuring this out. And that's the origin story and why I'm so passionate about development.
I think development is, and for the parents listening, for coaches to have development and understanding, they carry so many different hats. Looking back at the short stint that I coached, you have to deal with parents, you have to deal with the players. I'm talking, I was with 6 and 7 year olds. I can't even imagine dealing with me as a parent now with my 10-year-old son, and or even in 5 years from now, if he's still playing this beautiful game, and being a parent and having to have a coach wear those hats of friend, coach, role model, mentor, and trying to also teach life lessons along the way. And I feel, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you don't see it the same way, but I feel a lot of coaches just go out and coach. They don't want to wear the 50 other hats that a coach needs to wear because they spend so much time with these boys and girls, training them to develop them, to guide them to be whatever their future may be or their goals may be. I'm looking at, as a parent now, how do you approach a coach and how do you approach a program to teach them that the influence they have has this really long-term effect for that coach, not just a parent?
I think the best place to start is defining on a very macro level what development is, and then maybe some of the intricacies of it. First, development for me, in this most macro sense, is taking a person, a player, and moving them as close to their potential as possible. Potential is another one of these funny words, okay, where we throw it out just like we would development. And potential for me has three main pillars to it. One, everyone has potential. There's not a kid or a person at any age that does not have potential. Number two, you can never define potential. You can't see a player and say, well, that player will never raise above this level. This player will never make it to college. This player, you can't define potential. And finally, in pairing with that last one, is that potential is an endless horizon. Okay. It's something that we're always unveiling. We can touch it. We can scrape it at times and experience it in lifetime, but we're always pursuing it. There's always a next step. There's always this next new space we can explore that is better than anything we could have defined in the first place. And I think development creates the conditions for pursuing potential. Okay. So to your point about the coach who's just coaching, and I think when you say what you mean when you say that is that they're looking at it just from the player development standpoint, or they're looking at it even through an even more narrow lens. Am I winning the match on the weekend? Is our team winning as many matches as possible? And with that kind of navigation, you are not seeing beyond the next week. And you can't stack any long-term movement towards potential from a holistic sense because you can't see beyond the result of that weekend. So everything is seen through a weeks long lens at the very least. With development, you're preparing a player for the future game. Okay. And then to your point, the core, and I think the biggest hole in coaching education today, that we don't teach people how to develop the person. And we don't teach them the values in what I call a culture vision that is the basis and platform for all development, right? Because as a parent, because I am one of three daughters that are at prime developmental ages, okay, they're all in dance. I know nothing about dance. I'm not thinking down the line. What I want more than anything is for them to learn values that they can take with them to the next dance competition, but more importantly, take them to the other environments they'll inhabit the rest of their lives. And this value-based teaching that can be at the base of all our coaching provides the greatest skill that our culture is so void of today. Okay. Development simply requires you to meet the next challenge, a bit of adversity, discomfort, pain, look into it, confront it, and then explore the space beyond it. And today, people don't really want to do that. And it's the main separator between who actually goes far in the game, goes far in life, or those who are able to not only not run away from the challenge, but see it through and grow from it, because these challenges, these hardships, these things that are inevitable in sport as they are in life, create kind of a light towards our potential, right? You have to slay the dragon to get to the next level. And I think if you don't have at the very core of your coaching philosophy, something that develops better people as a conduit to developing better players, then we're not really doing our job. If you don't teach culture, you don't really teach anything. And the way you see a player in front of you changes as well. So if I'm only teaching technical aspects of playing and I'm only seeing the victories and the losses on the weekend, I'm not seeing that player as a slab of clay that has this potential that can be developed into something greater. I almost see them as a contractor that's been hired to do a job. Like, you're here on the day, you're this fixed entity, and you're here to win a game, right? And then if we don't, we exhale, we don't have a bigger perspective, and we try it again. And in the meantime, the players who this is all for start to lose the thing that's going to keep them on their path as long as they can in the sport, the joy, the excitement of being in a team and not having the pressure to win a U9 game that means absolutely nothing and no one will understand or remember 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, 2 years from now. But they will remember how they felt on the day, and they will carry with them the lessons learned as they continue on their path. And that's why so many kids seem to fall off their path today, is that they're not getting this. They're not getting this, and they're quitting at alarming rates by the time they hit 12. Or there's a high dropout rate in youth sports. At the very base, there's a culture vision that develops a person. If we don't have that, then you don't really coach much on the day, in my opinion.
You talk about culture, and I've talked about it a lot lately, especially in my interviews. It's 18 months or so I've spent in sports psychology. I don't have a background in it. I have just tried to eat everything I can in it. And it all comes back to what you just said. It's culture. It is the culture that these coaches create. It's the culture that the clubs create. Or if you're at a collegiate level, the culture of the college, and or professional level, the culture of the club at that level. I don't think you can do anything you're saying if the culture does not match, or the coach doesn't match the culture within the club that is being provided.
Yeah.
Might be the best way of phrasing that. So how do you direct coaches? Because sometimes coaches want to improve. I know so many coaches that go beyond their club's expectations because the club is just trying to survive, because it's a dog eat dog world here in Texas. I don't know how it is in DC. I had a former boss.
It's just as bad. Yeah.
That his kids played there. His son played there, but he said it's nothing like Texas. And I'm like, how do you know? Your kids are all growing up. You don't know how it is here. And he goes, but the stories I've shared with them. But that's the thing. I think we as people, we need to first focus on the culture that the coach creates. So if you're just looking at the coach and coach creating his own culture, you talked about not shaping these players. I can't think of the book, but it talks about being a dad. It was a book about how to be a better dad. And as dads, we need to be gardeners and not sculptures. And what it's saying is that instead of like chiseling them how we want them, we need to prune them in the right direction where they can grow and develop on blossom on their own. It sounds like you're talking about the same type of philosophy or psychology with coaches. And it is going back to how you described potential and development and the three pillars. Everyone has potential and it can never be defined, and it's pretty much endless. And I also think, and that brought to mind, I actually wrote down my quote. I love Kobe's quote. He goes, the only way you get perfect is by practicing every day, but nothing is ever perfect. And you can only chase it. You can only work harder to be the next day to be perfect. And I think you're taking a step back from that mentality and say, let's first build them up so they understand the culture that they live in and what they believe in. And when you say culture, you talked about values that they can have for the rest of their lives. How do you bring that across to these coaches that are taking your program? And so parents can understand that these are expectations that they can hope to have in their coaches and see that their coaches are bringing to the table, because I think you're right. My daughter does gymnastics and I know nothing about gymnastics, but the coaches, the values they're teaching her at seven and the principles they're teaching her are so instrumental, even to soccer in school or whatever it may be, is important. And how do you look at coaches and how do you start guiding them to have these perspectives that you have just talked about?
It's a huge question from a point of
we
motivation.
We can break it down in smaller parts if we need to.
Yeah, I think first, like culture along with development and potential is another word that kind of like floats out there and we don't quite know how to define it. I think it's your personal development plan really in the end. And it's this basis that you have and its values, its principles, it's even models that you can show the players and coach just like you would any technical component of your playing vision or however you're aiming to teach your players how to play. I think it's even more instrumental. I was speaking to a young coach who has a team in the area and they're a lower level and there's kids from low socioeconomic households and there's a lot of stuff in the ether where it's hard to get kids to training all the time and it's hard to do that. And the kids have had some tough losses and stuff. And we kept talking and he wants to provide value to these players. He wants to shape them in a way that gives them a chance in whatever, you know, whatever way you want to define. And we kept coming back to it. And he's trying to think of like different tactical, technical things. And that's where your head goes first. Like, how do you improve a team? Well, there's something on the field that I can tweak or some kind of information I can give. But really at the end of the day is that their biggest hangups and everyone's biggest hangups is this ability to face the moment and continue to iterate and learn from it and push through it and build this resilience that seems to be less and less demanded in the different environments they have today, whether that's in school or the household or their local communities or just in culture in general. That strong resilience, not fake machismo toughness, right? Where you're puffing your chest out and beating it a bit, like real values. This is multifaceted, right? Because the coach is the leader. They are the ones setting the vision. And that demands a lot of every coach. But regardless of the team you have and the level they play, that has to be the focus from day one. It's like, how do we behave and act as a team? How do you find a way to find a few values that you believe in because you understand them to be beneficial to a team and individual's development and get everyone rallied around it so you create a shared language and behavior so you can continue on this path together because it's stronger the more and more you go together on this path. So culture is as a way of organizing and moving a team, a collective towards their potential, which has benefits to the individual. But at the end of the day, this is a very human endeavor. If the head coach does not model those same values, that's a slippery slope for people not taking it seriously and people splintering off their path. If a person demands something, a certain behavior on game day, but can't hold it together on the sideline themselves, right? And live the values that he's teaching their players, there's a discrepancy. Culture, development, what we're really getting at is the longer, harder road. I think people understand on some level all these things we're talking about right now, but aren't willing on one level or another to actually pursue them because it's harder, it's longer. For example, we had a under 19 that I had last year that we had to create on the fly at the highest level in this country in the MLS next level. And a lot of them were true U17s that had to play up and guys that we grabbed off the street. And we play in one of the most difficult regions in the country. It's arguably the most difficult. And I had to, if anything, the whole year, I'm teaching them stuff on how to play and we're trying to develop as a group in that way. But what I was coming back to as much as possible was culture and the different values that we held dear and why that was important. And we didn't win a game all year until the very last one. But that is that base of understanding it and growing and seeing the small wins along the way and knowing that maybe it wasn't being reflected in the box score, but we were getting better week by week by week. And more importantly, having guys believe in it, right? And having this connection between coach and player that we are getting better. We just need to keep at it. We need to keep at it. This resilience is obviously transferable off the field and will maybe serve these kids the rest of their life. And the kids that were younger going into this year, started slow, but now we're second in the league a year later in a league where we'd never won a game all last year. Now, that was nothing tactical. That was nothing player acquisition or talent identity. We didn't get a whole new squad in here. Same kids, but they have this earned resilience that now is serving them in a way. And now I see the teams we're playing against when it gets late and the game is in the balance. My team is better able to execute in those moments. They might not be the most talented on the day, but they're better able to execute. And they're closer to their potential, even if they were with the team that won a bunch more games but didn't have that culture vision underneath of it. This is hard conceptually for parents to understand. This is hard conceptually even for coaches to understand. Because at the end of the day, our navigation, for the most part, is win at any cost. What can I show? We treat this whole process as a means to an end, a way of building a resume and showing everyone how good I am as a coach, how good am I as a player, how good am I as a parent. There's so many different things that we're signaling instead of really seeing the purpose of sport, which is develop our kids to be a vehicle for something greater. And underneath that is that culture. If you don't have that culture, then you can't sustain development for the long term. And development's a long-term game. Yeah, I think that's a good place to stop. But
no, yeah. I've written down a lot in thinking through this. I think you go back to culture and values and expectations. And you talked about, in one of your articles you've written recently, I think it was recently, it talks about you're still winning even if you lose. And this is something I can say my coach's son has very much emphasized. He goes, I don't care if you go out there and win the game and it's the worst game you've ever played. He goes, I'm not going to support that win because that's not your potential. That's not who you need to be. And you go out there and lose 10-0, but it's the best game as a team, as a collective you guys have ever played. And all of you have done the best that you can. He goes, I'm going to celebrate that more. And hearing that from a distance and having a little bit of sidebar conversations with him every now and then really echoes what you're saying, that coaches need to have that philosophy. But I think it comes in spurts. I don't think parents are willing to hold off on, like you talked about previously, it was the win at all cost mentality. And it kills me when I see or hear, oh, my son's team just won, but how many minutes did your kid just play in that match? And were they truly part of that winning success? I'm talking more of the younger ages where you aren't limited on the substitution rules as they get older. That's a whole nother story. Yeah. They're part of the practice squad and they're there for a reason. And they are the best of the best that are on the squad. And the starting 11 just performed better that week. I think that's a different mentality versus U14 and younger, where I think parents need to start understanding this foundation that you're talking about, and values and culture has to be built and should be expected. Now, coaches should be expecting this from the club now on the flip side of this and having that backbone,
yeah,
so to speak, in the club. I got hooked on an episode recently of a podcast and they talked about the Barcelona way, mid-2000s, why they were so successful. And I think what you talk about is pretty much in that conversation that was had. It was the culture, the values. And if you're not willing to have those values and cultures, you can go. And that's at a professional level. They got rid of players. At the youth level, this is your chance to shape and mold to have those values and bring those values to, like you said, with your daughters, is to have them for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. To create that culture around them. It's not just they leave the team and the culture stops at the team. That culture follows wherever they may go. So as you're going through this, and we can go back to back to development, because you talked about the potential. I feel like we can't move forward until we define a little bit more of development. You talked about it, how it is not a finite definition when it comes to sports, so to speak. It is more of a evolving definition as the coaches and players grow and as the parents grow to understand. How do you start to define development? Because I think that might be the foundation, because you already defined potential. And I know If I missed it, I'm sorry. I was writing a lot down and writing thoughts down. Your foundation for development. I think that might be because it's an evolving word.
Yeah. I'll start with how do you make sure not just your players, but your parents are on the same page from the start? And I think what you've alluded to before, I circle back to the definition of development, almost give you an equation to work off of, is that the parent plus the player equals one person. If you aren't educating the parents, then this is a slippery slope, especially in youth sports. So you have to have a vision one, right? And you have to have thought well and thought about it. You need to be able to model it, but you're also teaching this as you would the players every day. Because we've all had the experience where we get across some life lesson value onto the players, and then they get in the car on the way home and it's probably talked out of them by the time they get home. It has to be both together. It has to be parent and player together. So this education process has to be from the start. There has to be a big meeting ahead of time about the expectations and what the understanding of the vision is. And again, we'll get into this in a second, but, and then it can't stop there. It has to be in the communications, whether you're on a Demosphere or a Team Snap or those different communication tools where you're reiterating those values after games, after practices, showing the small wins that are happening. You're having quarterly meetings with your parents and check-ins. You're, depending on the age bracket, creating the constraints around parent coach conversations. Like the older they are, the more the player has to be the one. Now we're developing the person into a man or a woman. Like now you have to have these conversations. You have to take ownership of these conversations instead of having mom and dad do it. Obviously it depends on the age bracket, but this education piece in re-educating it is vital. Now it won't be for everyone. And I think this is a really important point to hit because it hits on a lot of levels, right? So I felt this angst, right? Where I think I'm doing this incredible thing for this team. I have this great compelling vision that I think will take their kids and move them closer to their potential. And I will have parents not be about it. And that's fine. And I think every coach that's in this place, in this environment, where it's a win at all costs and you're sticking to your values, you're talking about development, you're educating your people, parent and player will self-select over time. Like energy will find you. People that are attracted to your vision will find it. And those that really value it will stay with you and they will receive the benefits of that. And I've seen that time and time again over the last 15 to 20 years of coaching. I think that's important to know that it won't be for everyone. They almost self-select as they go on. And those are sad. Those hurt because every kid has potential. But we also have to get out of this mind frame that like best players win games. We're accumulating little figurines and these are the best ones. They win. That's not the case. It's the team that moves in the same direction together with a shared vision that creates the conditions for sustained success. So a lot of times you'll be, oh, my star player is leaving the club because he doesn't want to move with the team towards this shared vision because they think they're above the values or the parent thinks they're above the values. And you know what? We have to learn that like the most damaging person of a club is that high performer who's way against the culture. They're just going to bring everyone down with them. And I think a lot of times we value people just on the performance side. Oh, how are they culture champions? Are they people actually living these values day in and day out? Those people are more valuable than the ones that are scoring you the goals on the weekend, but don't give a rip about your vision actually is. Because these are the same people that won't have the resiliency to keep pushing their levels and to keep finding new ground. So this is the challenge of every coach, is that you're trying to educate as many people as you can, parent, player, and it's even harder if you don't have the support of your director or your club or the primary leader in your organization who is empowering you and has maybe set a vision that we all can work from, right? Those are the most powerful clubs where everyone is speaking a shared language. Everyone is empowered to run their individual team or teams in this kind of way. And this vision is able to sustain a kid all the way from the youngest age groups all the way until they graduate. So how do you define development? I think without getting too verbose, every developer has a vision that they're moving towards. It's idealistic and it's developmental. It's not something like potential. It's not something you can define. It's something you're always working towards. So if you have that vision, how you get to that vision, how you develop people, is I have created an equation for this. So it's culture vision, which is your vision for developing people, plus playing vision, your vision for developing players, plus game vision. Game vision is simply your culture vision and your playing vision leveraged onto a playing pitch to deal with the challenges of the match and your opponent as the best way you can on the day. So culture vision plus playing vision plus game vision times iterations. Iterations are simply this idea of understanding the small wins. How did we get better this week? And seeing the growth, seeing the step that we took, but also seeing the next step that we need to take. And having that form the next week's training or the next 2 weeks' training or whatnot. So by the time we get to our next match, we have taken this next step towards our ultimate vision. Everything is in service of this grand vision of moving our kids towards their potential. However you define that for your club to meet the specificity of the age bracket, your people, your location is up to you. I would say this big thing, like there's no perfect vision. There's no perfect values. There's no perfect culture as far as what it encompasses. The bigger thing is that you have something that directs you. It's better that you have a culture vision versus the perfect one. The contents of your vision matter less than your ability to iterate towards them or with them. So for me, every day I'm thinking, what am I teaching to develop the person? What am I teaching to develop the player? How can we take a next step? I'm thinking, obviously at the older age groups, you're thinking about the opponent and how we can continue to get better against the challenges of the opponent and then continuing to move into new space. And I've seen that at every successful club, college, where we were able to do seemingly the impossible. This was at the core of it, right? We served the people in front of us. We got better week by week. And we didn't see the game as an end point. We saw the game as the beginning of the next cycle, the next week. So it's this infinite, we turned a finite game into this infinite one that we can continue to play for as long a time as we are together. It's really, it's changing what the game is. It's not about the match on the weekend in its finite form. It's about how you can take the lessons from that and build it into the next week. It's this constant iteration of your values and vision over a long time span, which gets you way further down the line than you would have done otherwise, where you're just thinking about the match on the weekend and you're living and dying by the result of it.
And I don't, how do I phrase this? Talk about the game being the, like, to me, you pretty much said the game is the beginning and the end at the same time. And it predicts the next week. You're not, for parents to understand and make sure I'm understanding this correctly, you're not planning your week based off the game. You're planning the vision that you have off that, because this is kind of going again, like my train of thought, and I feel like I'm wrong, and I feel like I'm not going the same direction that you're saying.
Yeah.
I know, from my understanding, every club has their goals, their visions. I have been told the most successful clubs in the world, any coach can go step into a training session and take it over because they are doing this, quote, the same tactical and technical training that week. It doesn't matter what the coach is doing. But you just added about 16 layers. I feel like a million layers to this, or 16 layers. Or
I don't want to overcomplicate it either. Let me make this simple. And to your point where any coach can jump in on a club, but there's no wrong way to do this, right? There's no wrong way to do this outside of two rules. You can't cheat the game and the rules of the game, right? That's easier to understand. You can't cheat development, right? And that's the harder one. That's the one we're talking about right now, like providing a personal vision, providing these things. I'm simply saying, like, at the end of each match, and you can look at the scope of your whole season in comparison to it, but you're looking at, okay, how are we improving? Are we hitting these marks that we're really, do they align with our playing vision? Do they align with our culture vision? And then from that game, you're thinking, okay, where are these new spaces we can move into? Like, what areas of our playing vision and culture vision can we get better at? or what was the next step for us in this moment? It needs to be related to your grander vision, but the specifics of what that is, I believe, like, you only know week to week. And that's my artist, like, that's, I think, as coaches, as artists, like, we're just, everything is, I couldn't copy and paste what I did at Navy with the boys at Nebraska, Omaha. I couldn't copy and paste what I did with DC 9 17s with my 16s at Achilles. They're, each one is its own specific entity. So you have to meet the specificity of the people in front of you. And a lot of that is, yes, you have a vision. Yes, you have principles that probably have taken from place to place. But in that moment, on the end of the match day, so that they are filled up to go at it again for the following week, they need to know on that post-match team talk, regardless of the result, okay, I feel you. I see you. You've done really well here today. As we go forward, these are the next spaces. These are the next things that we need to improve upon. And we know these intuitively as a coach, like when we're watching the game and whatnot, but that helps us not see the game as an endpoint. It sees it as, oh, okay, this is where we're going to improve in the next week, or at least it's going to be a focus. And can we, the next match, improve in these areas? And it creates this momentum, right? That I think is really difficult to find today because everyone's valuing the result on the weekend. And then they like regroup, rethink, they focus completely on the next opponent, or Timmy didn't get enough goals this week. And it's just, it's very finite. It's very much, let's take it from the parent player perspective, especially as they get older. It keeps people in process when you see the game as the beginning of the next week, that it's an infinite game that you can continue to play and march towards some potential that we never can stop marching towards. But the players and the parents, and it's been taught to them implicitly through the environments that they've been in, is that they see this less as an end in and of itself, right? This is just sport. It's a vehicle for transformation, for growth, and all these things. But now they see it as like almost a resume that they're building that they can pass on to the next club, or they can pass up to the college coach, or they can pass on to the national team scout, or they can pass up to the pro club in their area. And that's not what this is. It's really not. And we shortchange people, and there's a lot of downstream effects from treating sport like that. The players aren't enjoying it in the same way that they did before. They feel more tense. They feel like they have to perform at a certain level. They're not exploring their potential at that point. They're just protecting what is, right? They're building a resume and saying at the end of it, hey, this is what I've done, right? Instead of really enjoying the fruits of development and staying in process. And a lot of times when we treat the game as a beginning of the next week, it allows us to stay in process. It allows us to grow. It allows us to iterate one more time, which strengthens us as people, as players, and gives these kids a much better opportunity to actually not only do well in the soccer field, but take these skill sets into their different environments, like we alluded to before. Yeah. We can't live and die by the weekend. So,
no, like you kind of flipped the script. I think that's the best way of describing it. By making the game the beginning, and I also look, you may not agree with me, but I'm looking at it as also the end, because it is the beginning
it's
of
both.
A new week.
It's both. It's both.
Both, right. Yeah. It's both. But we as parents, we focus on the culture and the player vision. We don't look at the game vision because we only care about statistics. We only care about the score at the end of the game and what the player is doing. Mm-hmm. And most coaches, because of the environment parents have demanded and the culture has demanded outside of the organization, the game vision's gone. This is where it finally clicked with me. And then you talked about the times the iteration, which is understanding the future goals. I think those last two parts are left out of everything with U Sports, not just soccer, but everything. And then we start looking at it at the highest levels. The game vision's always missing because at the end of the day, they're chasing the wins. I don't know what's going on at Manchester City right now with Pep, but they have had a really rough 2-3 months. And maybe their game vision's missing what you've been talking about this whole time, because the culture's there. The player vision's there. The player culture and vision's there. But the game vision is missing. And then the understanding the future goals. I don't know. It's like I have like my hair on the back of my neck is standing up because it just clicked. And it's how do you get all of them to align? I think it goes back to what your first equation you gave me. It was player plus parent equals one. And I think we have to treat the system that way. And I don't care what age group. And maybe if they're professionals, player plus agent and families one, adding another dialogue into that one. But just at the youth level, if we understand the iterations part and the game vision part, the other two kind of fall into place because after the game, those other two have to go forward again. And I think that's where it finally clicked with me, what you were saying. And development will truly happen. I don't think most parents, or I would probably say 90% of coaches out there, I don't know if they even see it that way and have the understanding of how to build this. And then you talked about the DOCs. On one of our local forums, someone asked, are all coaches so out of touch? And someone goes, it's a numbers game. It's about how many kids they can get into the club. It's not about the players. And what you're saying, it kind of just trashes our current soccer culture. Nothing against what our soccer culture is, but it also what came to mind is the three phases of play. And you talked about pressure. U13, I feel like the pressure changes because it, and I kind of had an interesting conversation this weekend, and I truly feel the game should always be fun. I don't care what level you're at. It should always be fun. If you're a pro playing in the top leagues or the national teams, if it's not fun, time to hang up your boots and go find something else or find a team that makes it fun for you. And that pressure, you've hit so many things. I don't know where to go because the player and parent are one. I bet majority of the pressure, you talked about that card ride home. And everything is gone after that. And you talk about the youth kids dropping out, and that I feel that starts with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
But we can push back and say, let's educate the parents. And you talked about having a quarterly meeting and taking ownership, and that is something that is missing because most coaches wash their hands when they leave practice on whatever night of the practice, and they don't have quarterly meetings. They might do a player evaluation once a year. But that comes back to having the support or the demand by the higher ups in the club.
Hey, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this first part with Nate Baker. I can't stress it enough that we need to start grabbing on to this type of information. I know there wasn't a lot covered, I felt like, in this episode. The next one covers a whole lot more. I really wanted to release it as one, but I learned that the average listens about 45 minutes. So I'm going to try to keep it in that time zone for almost all my episodes, unless I have an hour-long recording. But that being said, I want you all to listen to what he has to say, what he stresses on, and the importance of what he is working on. And next week, I will wrap this all up in my final thought of everything and share with you how I see what he's talking about and the importance of it all. Hey, everyone. If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.